This used to be a given for almost every kid.
Oh.
You at least did one of these every summer.
Mm-hmm.
But as time moved forward, Tommy.
Yeah, things changed, man.
And a few things push families away from signing their kids up for this.
Yeah.
But it seems, Thomas, their potential demise has been greatly exaggerated.
Oh.
Because the state of New York wants your kid to come and have fun with them.
Where?
This summer.
What is this place?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Over the weekend, the state of New York announced their online registration for their New York summer camp programs will open on March 23rd.
Nice.
So the camps are running through the state DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation.
Yeah.
They offer kids 11 to 17 a wide range of outdoor activities at these camps, from fishing to archery, canoeing, and hiking, all of the traditional stuff.
Yeah.
And there are four camps statewide. And this might be the greatest deal of all time.
What's that?
Are you ready? For $350 a kid, you get a week of lodging, meals, trips, all of the stuff we just mentioned, and a free T-shirt.
It's cheaper to send it to camp.
No kidding.
Yeah. You're out of house. You're saving money.
You get a whole week without your kid. Yeah. They're going to feed them, and I only got to give you $350?
You're going to entertain them.
Thank you. If you are interested, by the way, you can Google New York State DEC summer camps and send your kid away. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Are summer camps still popular for the 11 to 17-year-old crowd? Because, like, this was something you did every summer.
I love camp. And I don't know as much because I love camp so much because I hated being around my parents.
Because you did stay away camp too, right?
Yeah,
like where you would go and
by the way,
live there.
Did you hear the attitude she said it with too? You did stay away camp.
No, I was asking. I'm just saying, like, it's not like your parents dropped you off and picked you up at the end of the day.
No.
They sent you away.
Cross state. It was over on the west coast of Florida. And I did 2 weeks every year. And we did stuff then you can't do now. Like, we did horseback riding.
Okay.
We also did, we doing clay pigeon. You got to shoot a 20-gauge shotgun.
As how old?
I was 10, 11 years old. So it was a lighter-gauge shotgun. Fishing, canoeing, and all that stuff. And then scuba diving. They taught you how to scuba dive in the pool. Now, we never went in the ocean.
Yeah.
But we had the
probably
tanks.
Smart.
But they got you in the water, and then they put the tanks on you, and then they taught you how to scuba dive.
No kidding.
So you're certified.
No,
you were
I wasn't
at some
certified,
point.
But...
Oh, I
knew
thought
how to
that's
do
the
it.
Whole point.
By the way, I thought, why would you not? You lie about everything else, but Kimmy, I don't joke
I
about scuba certification.
You don't mess, and then, you know, archery with real bow and arrow.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
And so was it two straight weeks, or you went to two different weeks?
No, 2 weeks.
Okay.
2 weeks you went there, and it was, I loved it. Like, it was awesome. Because, like, you just ran around like an idiot.
I mean, like, hearing you describe it mm-hmm. as romantic, like,
yeah.
The idea of sleepaway summer camp for a kid is very Americana.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're away from your parents, you're sleeping out in the woods in a cabin, you got friends you only saw 2 weeks out of the summer
right.
every
yeah.
year, right? You're doing things you didn't normally get to do. Like, it feels like what being a kid should be.
Yeah. Yes.
But for some reason, over the last 30 years,
yeah.
we got away from it.
Well, because you've got so many more activity. Like, your daughters would not have time to go to a stay-away camp, considering all the sports and activities.
I literally got a I told you guys, I got a text this morning from my 14-year-old. New hockey camp in town, July 14th through 17th.
Yeah, so where are you?
Stupid.
Well,
they didn't, you know, that stuff didn't exist when I was a kid.
Okay.
Did camp also get way more expensive when we were kids? Because I think because I would have loved to go to a stay-away camp, but I feel like cost was a huge factor for a lot of those types of things.
Okay, so let's break down what may have brought kids away from the sleepaway summer camp. Again, 252-WCMF, we're talking about the state of New York. The DEC has their summer camps. There's four of them statewide. You can register starting March 23rd on their website. But for kids 11 to 17, it's only $350 a kid for a week of lodging, meals, trips, free T-shirt, and the activities from fishing, archery, canoeing, and hiking. I've never heard of a better deal in my life.
And man, these camps, at least they used to just feed you, like, constantly. So, like, it was like when we went to summer, like, you could eat all you want because it was just, like, laid out.
It sounds so awesome. Can I go?
The amount of kids I saw puke after they ate. Because, yeah, once they didn't know what they were doing. So, like, they would load you up on breakfast.
And then
right?
send you off on a boat?
No, then we'd go horseback riding.
Oh.
So they would put you in a truck, run you out to the stables, and then you got kids bouncing around in Florida heat, puking up on these horses. But they, you know, that's all right. You'll feel better once you get it up.
All right, so Kimmy,
yeah.
What may have got us away from sleepaway summer camp? You bring up the cost. So this is ridiculously cheap.
Yeah.
But we have looked up other summer camps where we've seen them run like thousands of dollars.
High-end camp.
Yeah, for a week or less. But I don't know what's high-end and what's not high-end.
Well, you got tennis camps, golf camps.
Oh, I'm talking just your standard
describing. Oh. Like fun summer activities kind of camp.
Yeah, like the archery and the horseback riding and all that kind of stuff. You're right. If you specialize it, it's going to cost you a fortune.
Yeah. Because I remember as a kid, there were all these TV shows of kids that and movies of kids that went away to these sleepaway camps. And I thought I was missing out on something.
No, I'm with you, 100. Heavyweight, well, that was a fat camp one. Meatballs.
There were a lot.
Hey, Dude.
Yeah.
The show on Nickelodeon. Yeah. Hey, Dude.
Was this Bug Juice?
Okay,
so there's Rich Pricks, you know, over at Camp Mohawk.
By the way, you went to Camp Mohawk. You are describing Camp Mohawk.
I was Camp Mohawk.
The other issue could be how popular things like archery, fishing, canoeing, and hunting
and
are.
And the liability of all that stuff down, too.
Yeah, good call. Good call.
And there's also other things that have
happened. So we'll put a pin in that. I'm going to get there in a sec, but I want to talk about the popularity thing. Like, what I'm wondering, if you took the average 11 to 17-year-old right now, and we're waxing romantically about it because, like, that was exciting stuff when we were kids. But if you took the average kid right now and said, listen, you're going to go for a week away from mom and dad, no phone, probably, because you're going to be out in the middle of nowhere. You're going to fish, canoe, do archery, and eat out of a trough.
Yeah.
Would kids be interested in that?
Probably not, I'm guessing. It probably sounds like it would suck.
But you are away from your parents.
That's nice, but I don't know if kids... My parents were the kind of parents you didn't want to be around, but the parents today seem like you want to be around them because you have way cooler parents.
Look, man, I'm super cool. My kids would still jump at the chance to go somewhere for a week. I mean, I don't know this, but if I told them you're going somewhere without me for a week, they'd be very excited.
I think kids and parents today have a better relationship.
Okay.
So that might hurt camp.
I'm telling you, look, I appreciate what you're saying. And again, I'm great. All parents are great. But no, I think just the idea of like being able to be independent.
Any 14-year-old's going to want to get away from their parents, right, for a summer.
My daughter's got a hockey tournament this weekend. She's already trying to get me to let her sleep in her other teammate's room. Because, you know, lady, let me do anything in the Best Western in Oswego. That hot spot.
Yes.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Let's talk to Jim. Hey, Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good, man.
Hey, I went to the DEC camp in Rushford when I was like 12 or 13. It was a blast.
So same kind of deal, sleepaway camp, all that stuff?
Yep. You were there for a week. We learned how to shoot 22s, 20-gauge, bow and arrow. You actually
make
got
a man
your certification for hunting. You know, so you had your hunter certification so you could start, you know, getting a hunting license every year.
Wow.
Right. You went hikes down to a bog and canoe. We went on overnight sleepovers out in the woods with no tents, no nothing, just sleeping on the ground.
Bears.
No, that's when the funding ran out.
It was a blast. We had a good time.
Hey, Jimmy, do you have kids of your own?
Yes, I do.
Did they ever do the summer camp stuff?
My daughter went to Y camp a couple years when she was a teenager, but that was it.
All right, so they did. Were they just not interested? Was it something you couldn't afford? Yeah, were the kids too busy?
No,
like, what happened?
She just had no interest in DEC camp. She wanted to go to YMCA camp with a friend of hers.
Okay, all right. So maybe it is the kids just don't want to do this stuff anymore. And again, I say this.
Well, it's not cool.
Go ahead, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
Well, I had a dad, an older brother, and brother-in-law who were all in the hunting that you were, because I was the youngest by 8 years, so everybody was up around 20, and they were all doing hunting and fishing and all that, and I was into it. So
sure, I get you. Yeah, you're right. That. The family influence will definitely dictate what you find fun.
But it was a blast, and you couldn't have more fun if you tried.
All right, so Jimmy says go. Go do it.
Enjoy. Yeah,
go do it.
Jimmy,
it's a blast.
Thanks for the call, buddy.
Hi, man.
There goes Jim. Okay, so we brought up how popular the activities could be with kids. That could be hurting summer camps. We brought up the cost outside of this one, which is cheap. That could be hurting summer camps. But the third reason these summer camps may not be as popular is the rough discussion.
Yes.
Who can you trust with your kid?
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stories and things that came out after the fact about camps.
You got it. Like after New York changed that legislation about statute of limitations, we heard some horrible stories that happened at summer camps from the 50s up until the 90s, right? And you're sending your kids in a lot of these summer camps to be watched by slightly older than your kids.
Yes. Right.
They're their guardians for the week. You know, now that we have the hindsight, 2020 hindsight, right? Maybe putting kids 3 years older than our kids in charge of our kids for a week was a terrible idea.
Like high school kids in charge of middle school kids.
Yeah. Like, how was there not one person in the international meeting of summer camps that didn't raise their hand and go, hey, listen, not for nothing.
Well, I mean, would that 18-year-old kid be less trustworthy than I mean, we've talked about adults that
also
are,
great
you know
point.
What I,
yep.
I mean, I don't know if that really
great point
makes it any safer. Mm.
And I want to be clear, I'm not suggesting your kids would be in any danger in these camps that we're discussing.
But I think it hurt the industry for sure.
You're right. And even now, I don't know how many parents I know personally would send their kids off to live with strangers for a week by themselves in a place they've never been. I mean, looking back on it, I understand it was a different time, but it's kind of crazy when you look at it through that lens. Our parents had no problem doing
no,
that.
And I was 4 hours away from my parents.
Well, no, I get.
And that is in the house.
No, your dad paid for Leave Him in the Ocean camp. Rocks around his ankles camp.
And you were isolated, too. You didn't have a cell phone then.
Nothing. I don't think there was a phone in that joint.
I would wonder then, I would think being connected to your kid at all times would make parents a little bit more comfortable with it.
Yeah, but that takes away the
camp
whole...
Camp AirTag.
Such an old
know,
man thing
know,
to say.
Hey,
you doing a camp AirTag over there?
Yeah, AirTag him.
No, but I mean, if you're right. I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
But if I'm like, I'll use my 12-year-old for example. I think my 12-year-old would be very excited to go experience something new like this.
Yeah.
Player, right? But if I told her keep your phone on me to stay, she would just be texting my wife and I all day long, not enjoying any of the stuff that's
but
going on.
But it would
on.
Make you feel more comfortable.
Sure, but I also don't know how healthy it is for a kid to be texting and archerying at the same time.
No, you want to be in the experience.
Yeah.
Not worrying about everything else.
The whole reason they're out there.
Yeah.
It's a
clean break.
So then I'm wondering, because I felt like it was kind of this way when we were kids too, those specialty camps, whether it's the sport your kid plays or instrument your kid plays, those kind of took over.
Yeah.
And, you know, every kid had some activity that they were into that they could do a camp for.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what really killed the overnight summer camp.
But those got so expensive. Okay, there was one camp, and I wasn't even like really into this as a kid, but I wanted to go to so bad. Are you guys familiar with Camp Woodward?
Woodward?
No.
It's an extreme sports camp.
Okay.
In this place in Pennsylvania.
Like BMX?
BMX, skateboarding, rollerblading.
Did you do any of those?
I mean, I had a skateboard and my buddies and I would go to like the
I didn't
the
know you were that into it.
Did you not see my bowl cut?
I would think, though, you'd have to be pretty good at it to go to that type of camp.
Kimmy, can a man dream in middle school?
I just can't picture you on a half pipe. That's all I'm saying.
That was the meanest thing you've ever
seen. Well, you were a big kid.
Yeah, I wasn't a great...
Big kids weren't boarders.
You weren't built for BMX.
No, right. I was not. I was a skateboarder.
But
I
all had, those kids were all, like, scrawny kids.
Yeah, man. Nobody really told me that when I got my skateboard, by the
they
way.
All, they all looked like Trevor Lawrence.
They all, also, like, all the kids. For some reason, the rich kids, like, were into skateboarding and rollerblading when I was a kid.
Well, it was cool. You could afford it.
And there was this place. I think it still exists, but it used to be off the Interloop called Crudco.
Okay.
It was where you could buy all the skateboarding stuff. And they would go get, like, the, you know, like... skateboarder model stuff.
Custom
with like
stuff.
The name brand, you know, like Tony Hawk stuff, Birdhouse and Blind and all this stuff. And my mom like made me get a skateboard from like Walmart that had like Garfield on the bottom of it, right? So I'm trying to blend in. I look like an idiot. So I wanted to go to Camp Woodward so bad.
Yeah, and this is stayed away camp.
Yeah.
Okay. So where was it?
It's in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Yeah, you barely can't afford this crap.
Bro, it was like $3,000 a week.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Damn.
But I knew a kid. One kid.
Who what?
One kid got to go to
Came
Camp
back
Woodward.
With stories.
I hated that
made
kid.
So jealous too.
By the way, not even a pro skateboarder now, so who's the idiot? I would still go to Camp Woodward now. I want to go to Camp Woodward so bad.
Does it still exist?
I think you can Google it. It has to. I mean, I'm telling you, when you
see...
Yeah,
it probably only grew in popularity.
When you see pictures of this place, you're going to want to go to Camp Woodward. Look, it was out in the middle of the woods, but there's like a half pipe, and there's like indoor skate park.
No, it looks like it's still open.
Wow.
Badass, son. Badass.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. There was always this like romantic idea, too.
What's that?
Of like you would meet your friends at camp, and you would stay in touch with them for years.
Forever, man.
Do you have any friends from camp that you kept in touch with?
Oh, my God, no. But that was 1969-70.
Well, no, but you hear these like romantic stories. I met my wife at camp when we were 7 and we got married. Or, you know, he was my best man at my wedding and we met at summer camp and he was from, you know, Long Neck and I'm from Rochester.
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
T-neck, Long Neck, who cares?
Yeah. No, I think, too, it would be really hard at my age back then as a 10-year-old to stay in touch with a kid that was, like, not in my own school district. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Because I'm in outside of Tampa. I live in West Palm Beach. kids came from all over the state.
Well, no, but you could. I mean, you could write letters. Well, no, you're illiterate.
So but you know, all of a sudden, like, what are you going to send a buddy a postcard when you're 10?
I just thought people did that. Did you not see Dennis the Menace, the movie?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, what do you got down there, Kimmy?
No, it's just the activities that are offered at this Camp Woodward.
What we got?
You could do parkour camp.
Do what?
That's like where you run around and like jump off of things.
I could do parkour. No. I can still go to Woodward. Right. I could do old man parkour.
Like but I'm just saying, like, the gap in skill levels with kids with that would have to be pretty wide. Because you're either the kid that can climb the rope or you're not.
Well, yeah, but you remember kids.
And there's no in between.
You always had to be like an acrobat.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like, it takes a lot of talent. But, Kimmy, you remember,
but
like.
That's what I mean, though. Like, you have to have a skill to go to this camp.
You don't, because you remember back in the day when, like, the X Games blew up and, like, it was really cool to be, like, a skateboarder or a BMX or a rollerblader. There were two kinds of kids. Mm-hmm. There were the kids that were really good at it, and there were the kids whose parents who just gave them all the money to stuff. And I'm guessing this camp, if you give them the thousands of dollars, they're going to be like, yeah, your kid's great. Okay. Bring him in. All right, let's take a break.
Right.
You know, we talk all the time here in the break room about how housing costs, buying a home, making life miserable.
Nobody can get in.
Yeah, but things are just as hard, if not harder, for people renting.
Oh.
The rent is too damn high.
You should write that down. That's a good one.
Who'd have thought that guy was so ahead of his time?
Yes.
Well, we have some good news.
What's the good news?
If you rent and you'd like to pay less where you live.
Like, I'm already in the rent.
You are here. You're already renting. And you want to pay less. It's as simple, according to these experts, as negotiation.
The art of the deal. How do you negotiate? What's your leverage?
I've got it right here.
All right.
You're hanging out at the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. So I have in front of me an article written by a couple of finance experts.
Okay.
And Tommy, they claim.
Yeah, what
that
do I do?
Negotiating the price
of
what you pay for rent where you live is not only acceptable, it is easier to do than people think.
But I'm already in and I'm renting.
That's actually the key to it.
Okay.
So the story starts right away, Tommy, by saying negotiating lower rent, moving into a new place, almost impossible.
Yeah.
Because there are plenty of people usually applying. They have their pick, so they'll just pass over you.
Yeah.
Go with the next one. But they claim after you moved in, now is your time to strike.
Okay.
Are you ready for the tips?
Yeah, what do I do?
Tip one, pay rent on time, be a good tenant.
Okay.
I'm giving you the tips.
Okay.
You want the tips or
don't set the place on fire.
Make it easy on your landlord.
Right.
There you go.
Be a good tenant.
Yeah. Tip two.
What's that? Tip two.
Time it right. Quote, start the conversation shortly before your lease renewal is due.
Okay.
Say you want to continue renting there for the right price. Then tell them you like your apartment, but you are keeping an eye out for cheaper rents in the area.
But that is dumb. Because you already
had a way with words.
You already know that rents are going up. So there is no cheap rent you could go get.
Well, there is cheaper rent if you choose to give up.
You want to go live in a Scuzz Tower by the river.
Scuzz Tower is sold out right now, bro.
You can't get in, I hear.
What you were saying, I'm sorry.
No, but like, he knows you can't find anything cheaper. Mm-hmm. And he's got a line of people ready to rent his place, so he doesn't need you. As a matter of fact, he's probably going to be raising the rent.
Well, yeah, I guess that would be the
because rents have gone up probably in the last 10 years. Rents have gone up every year.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem that way. But okay, here's the thing. Phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. You and I are very out of the loop when it comes to rent because
I rented, it was cheap.
I haven't paid rent in 12 years. You haven't paid rent in 1,000 years. Mm. Kimmy, you were the last one to rent.
Yeah.
Did your rent go up every year?
It did slightly. It wasn't anything we couldn't manage, but I think we got really lucky.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't know if our experience was everybody's experience.
Okay, now here's the thing.
Yeah.
We're not done with the tips yet.
Oh, wait, there's more?
We got two more tips, right, to make this work. All right, so in negotiating your rent down where you live in your apartment, tip three, point out the benefits of you staying.
How great I am.
No. Remind them the hassle of having to list their apartment, showing it, screening it, and losing out on the potential income while you are not there.
Yeah.
And then finally, tip four, offer something in return.
Give them back.
Yes, this sounds like a start of a porn, but it's not. They mean offer to sign a longer lease, offer to prepay 2 months instead of a 1 month security deposit. And then they go on from there. But those are like the four key points of how to negotiate your rent. So having heard all of them, Tom, in your mind, is this possible?
No. Not the way you describe the rental climate as it is.
Another guy who doesn't rent.
Yes. Yeah. Looking farther afield, Pat, you a damn fool if you think this guy, he knows what he's sitting on right now.
Okay.
Is it worth a try, though? That's the question.
I guess you could always be asking, but.
I'd like to call my one time out of the show.
Okay.
Thank you. Quick sidebar. Mm. This is the second time in 3 days you've used the term farther afield.
I don't know where I picked it up.
No, there was definitely something you watched on Netflix that had farther afield in it.
I think so.
Who else has watched that documentary or series? And please tell us what it is so we can take it away from him because you sound like an idiot.
No, he sounds smart.
Okay, so you don't think this is going to work?
No, it sounds like based on everything, it sounds like supply and demand, they're in the driver's seat.
All right, Kimmy?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of something like this?
No. I've never heard of anybody getting their rent down. Like, maybe if you're lucky, you can keep it the same. I don't think you're getting it for cheaper than you have it currently. I also would worry by doing this, because you can ask, I'm sure, but if you go into it thinking you're going into some sort of negotiations, you could also ruin, if you have a good relationship with your landlord, why ruin that?
Okay.
Why ruin a good thing?
Well, because you could be saving $100 a month.
Well, no, I'm saying, but if they just straight up say, no, I can't do that, and you keep trying, I just would worry that you could make it worse for yourself.
Okay. 252-WCMF, of the folks listening that are currently renting, do you think you could pull something like this off? Because, look, I agree with what you're saying, Tommy, when it comes to supply and demand. Maybe this works in other communities, but, like, here in Rochester, there is such a shortage of places to live, and they are frantically putting up apartments and townhomes in every suburb in the greater Rochester area, right? And even downtown, like, the luxury apartments that keep opening up and then immediately filling, mind-boggling.
Yeah,
it is mind-boggling,
so
right?
And I ain't got no negotiating skill.
Yeah, that's why you haven't gotten a raise in 30 years.
I know.
But, I mean, there's another problem with this article on top of all of that.
What's that?
The way they give these tips, it's geared towards people renting from, like, single owners of the places they live. Like, this guy owns a house, right?
Yeah.
If I rent from a complex, which is owned by a big company, and that kind of seems like most of the place in the burbs, you can't pull this off.
No. Who are you talking to?
Like, the lady who works in the leasing office?
Oh, yeah. Because that's the last place I leased was in Cornhill, and there was a leasing office. And it was like it was like one of the old homes that was divided up, but they owned, like, a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
And I used to just go and pay her, but she wasn't the landlord.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I would also assume that everybody pays the same for the square footage of the complex that you have. Like,
the only break I got, because I always paid on time, when I was getting ready to leave, and I was getting ready to move into a house, I didn't know when, they let me go at the end month to month, so I could walk at any time.
I thought that's because they were just so excited you were leaving.
I was a good renter, Pat.
That's what everybody says.
No, by the way, cashola.
Under the tee?
Way under the tee, bro. Dirty money. Dirty radio money.
Only because Wheeze touched it before you got it.
Yes.
252-WCMF. We're talking about this article written by several finance experts that suggest you can negotiate your rent down. We talk about the price of buying a house in Rochester all the time here, but rent is just as, if not worse, to try and afford. They say you have to do it while you're already in the apartment.
Yep.
Pay rent on time, be a good tenant. Time it for when your lease is about to come up. Point out the benefits of you staying, about how they're not going to have to list it and go through all that, and then offer something in return, something like signing a longer lease or paying 2 months deposit instead of one. You think this is crazy.
Yes.
Kimmy is a little more Luke on it, but you don't like it.
I guess it's worth asking, but if they say no, I'm not fighting it.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Josh. Hey, Josh.
Hello. So I've been in the rental industry for a little over 20 years.
Ooh, I'm renting Josh.
So I've managed 300 apartment complexes as well as single families, condos, and multifamily.
You've seen it all, Pat.
And so what happens is when we run large family large complexes, and you could, you know, ask for a discount in rent, but usually what would happen is they would offer you an alternative, right? So maybe they'd offer you a free washer and dryer in your unit,
ooh,
or an upgrade on your blinds, or replace all the carpet.
Ooh.
Because the cost
give all the rats
of changing
name tags
out a unit, the cost of changing out a unit, if you were to move, you get 3 months, two to three months of lost revenue, or the upgrades and painting costs.
Okay,
right?
All right, yeah.
So So we actually began a program at one of our complexes where every year when somebody renewed, we gave them an offer that said, would you like a new improvement on your apartment? It might be new light fixtures, cabinets, or whatever. So when you're working with large complexes, often the rent prices are non-negotiable because there's so much demand. So if you're willing to accept an improved quality of housing and say, let's build this relationship, they're usually open to that.
Okay,
so what about building relationships?
No, Josh, hold on. I'm
moving further afield.
So shut up with the field crap. I almost cursed. I'm so mad at that stupid saying. Hey, Josh, I got to take some more calls, but I just want to be clear. So you're saying that going into this negotiation, you're not going to get a discount if you're talking with like a bigger place, but having this conversation could get you something out of it.
Yeah, be constructive. Don't make it an argument or a fight. What it is about, it's saying we're having a relationship here. I'm a customer. You're a provider. Can we find a way to make it better for both of us? Because you know that you're providing value by staying.
See, that's right, so be combative.
If you're with a private homeowner, you say you can get reductions, but you have to be a really easy tenant to deal with.
Josh, thanks for the call, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, take care.
Combative and condescending.
He's mad at you. I do what I say. Josh obviously knows his stuff here.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, 20 years in the biz.
He sounds like a really smart rammer.
But like you get the glee in his voice, he sounded excited like, oh my God, I have all this knowledge and I get to call the radio show and tell him.
Your show craps all over him.
Andrew writes us on Instagram, as a landlord, I generally don't raise my rent on tenants yearly if they stay, especially if they are a decent tenant, but I will raise it to the market rate after they move out and get new tenants.
Okay.
Yeah, I've
so
seen
he jacks
that happen.
It up.
Yeah.
So you know who they are. They're landlords, man.
Was that snarly?
Landlords, you know, no landlord has ever been betrayed nice in any movie.
In any movie, you're right. No, but I look.
Any TV show, the landlord's always this greedy dick.
I tend to agree with the idea that landlords suck.
Yeah.
That being said, I have had a couple of really cool ones
yeah.
that were willing
you,
to be.
You get one good one and they will change your mind, I guess. You know,
yeah, but again,
somebody that's willing to help you out.
But it's not now. It's not enough for me to assume every landlord's
right, a good landlord.
I mean, look, to the point that Kimmy made earlier, and with Josh even saying this, right? It wouldn't hurt to ask. You have nothing to lose.
Yeah, sure.
Right. But the biggest reason this may not work.
What?
You know, 20 years ago, you could make a deal between you and your landlord. They could agree if for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And it was just between you and them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, if someone were to actually pull this off, Tommy, you know folks love bragging about a deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to go right on Facebook,
yeah.
Twitter, Instagram. They're going to tell everyone they know.
They're going to crush
it. Reviews, Google reviews, things like that.
They're
going to
start
it all up.
TikTok on how to negotiate lower rents. And then all of a sudden, every person who owns a place in that complex is going to come looking for that for their next lease.
Oh, yeah.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Daryl. Hey, Daryl. How are you, buddy?
Hello.
Hey. Go ahead, Daryl.
I got one on my landlord. He overstepped a boundary, and I asked him to settle it out of the court, settle like men in the streets, and he tended to want to turn around and walk away. So we just don't want him not paying rent. So I think we got one on him.
All right.
Well, that's unique.
All right.
I want to fight you.
I have follow up questions, but Daryl, I'm afraid to ask any of them. But I'm
getting.
Daryl, congrats on your great situation, buddy. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right, there goes Daryl. I am horrified to know what line Daryl believes.
Glad we didn't have any follow up questions for Daryl.
No, because like, if there's one lesson we've learned, the follow up answer is always 1,000 times worse than you think it's going to be. I'll read one more Facebook.
Don't fight your landlord. Yeah. I think that's good advice.
Also, just because he hasn't thrown you out yet, not paying rent for 4 months, doesn't mean that's not going to hurt you. Yeah, okay. Jess will wrap this up on Facebook, talking about negotiating your rent down.
Mm-hmm.
She writes, the reason this won't work is it's harder to move right now than it is for a landlord to fill an empty apartment. They could have a month or two no rent. I have to find a new place, get approved, get a moving truck or guilt friends, get used to a new place, hope my new neighbors are okay. It sucks to pay the $1,600 a month for my two-bedroom.
$1,600? Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
But she finishes, I'll do that before I have to move again. Wait a minute.
If you want two bedrooms, you're paying a minimum probably of $1,500.
So is rent like $2,000 if you want a two-bedroom place?
If you want a nice two-bedroom.
Wow. I'm out.
Well, don't speak so fast. You don't own that house. Both of these stories
yeah.
in the same day are the most Dallas Cowboys stories of all time.
Okay.
And the second one, I mean, look, I'm with you. I want this to happen.
Yeah.
But purely for entertainment's sake, because there's no way all of the things that would have to happen for this to work would go well.
Yeah.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So we'll start with yesterday morning's breaking news.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys are parting ways with their head coach, Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy, very successful in Green Bay, won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, came to Dallas. His regular season record has been very good, but he has won a single playoff game in his 3 years, 4 years,
okay,
5 years.
So he's over.
Yes, and they missed the playoffs this year after Dak Prescott got hurt. Now, here's the thing. He wasn't technically fired.
He just didn't come back.
They parted ways.
Yes, yeah. Well, no, his contract was
there, okay.
Which is, it never happens. They never have lame duck head coaches in the NFL. So he's getting some interest from the Bears and the Saints. He may have a job coming up, whatever. Okay. But everyone was criticizing the Cowboys yesterday, the Talking Heads, because every other team that needs a head coach has gotten a 2-week head start on them.
Yeah.
Dallas needs to interview people, find a man to put in that job. But it turns out they may have had their sights set on someone the whole time.
Yep.
It was revealed later in the day that Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has had or is having conversations with Colorado head football coach Deion Sanders.
What?
Coach Prime.
It's all on brand.
It is. It's so Dallas Cowboys, it hurts.
And he would bring his kid.
Okay, so.
Both his kids.
Just to give you a background, Coach Prime started coaching at Jackson State, HBCU, historically black college university, brought his son, two sons, to play at Jackson State.
Yeah.
When he moved down to Colorado, they transferred to Colorado. His son, Shador, is going to be a first-round pick in this coming draft. He's a quarterback. Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, was asked a week ago if he'd ever coach in the NFL. And he said the only condition would be that both of his sons are on his roster.
It's a package deal.
You got it. Kimmy, can you Google what pick the Dallas Cowboys currently have in the NFL draft? Because both of his sons are coming into the league this year.
Mm-hmm.
Shador definitely has a job. His other son is
projected. He plays defense, right?
Yes, but he's projected as an undrafted free agent.
All right.
Like 12th.
All right, so the Cowboys pick 12th. You got a lot of quarterback needy teams between 1 and 12, meaning if this were to happen, the Dallas Cowboys would have to package a bunch of valuable assets
to get it
and trade up. You still in?
Oh, yeah. What do I care about the Dallas Cowboys?
I'm saying,
I
mean,
let it burn.
It's entertaining for everybody that's not a Cowboys fan.
Right.
I agree with you.
Fans are going to eat it up till it blows up in their face.
See, that's just it. I don't know if Cowboys fans would eat it up.
They got to love. I mean, he had a good career there.
He was only there for a couple years.
Yeah, but I mean, he stands out, man.
No, I get it. I get it.
The guy sucks all the air out of the room.
Yeah. Do you want flash, though, if you're a fan of an NFL team? Because when was the last time, like, good time coach won a Super Bowl?
Good time?
Andy Reid's kind of good time coach. He does those commercials for Allstate.
But do you think of him as, like, silly, like, I'm making it all about me kind of coach?
Okay.
Like Jerry Glanville never
Say flashy.
You're right.
And he was a flashy
guy. By the way, Kimmy doesn't know who that is.
Bum Phillips. Funny guy.
Yeah, never got there.
But he got close.
Dick Vermeil was kind of fun guy. He was like a player's coach.
He was all right.
Pete Carroll.
I'm thinking like Rex Ryan type.
Okay.
You know?
They don't go far.
All right.
But the fact that you're going to have two huge egos clashing is going to be great. Because Jerry's going to be on the sidelines. It's going to get ugly.
Now, by the way, the deal's not done.
Yeah.
They've just been talking. I mean, I'm trying to put together all the moving parts in my head here because you would have a first-time NFL coach in Deion Sanders who only has, if I'm not mistaken, 4 years as a head coach, period.
Yeah.
One at an HBCU, one at a middle-of-the-road, what was a Big 12 school. Mm. So that's a problem. You would also have a dynamic we've never seen before where the head coach would have his son as a quarterback on a roster that already has a starting quarterback in Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And Shador Sanders, based on all the scouting reports, probably would be good to sit for a year.
Yeah.
But if you're Dak Prescott,
who struggled with injuries and stuff, I mean,
you don't want this.
No, absolutely not.
The coach's kid?
Yeah.
And then you're
that would just, it'd just be an awkward situation no matter how it turns out if you're Dak Prescott, because you kind of feel like you're the third wheel in this relationship.
He's in a bad spot.
And then even more complicated, I don't know if Shador, his quarterback son that looks like he's going to earn a spot in the league, period.
Yeah.
It's the undrafted free agent son that's more complicated because he's going to take somebody's career, because if the deal is he stays on the roster, that means someone deserving isn't going to earn an NFL paycheck.
Right. But it doesn't seem like any of that would concern billionaire Texas man Jerry Jones.
Could it work, though?
Well, I guess anything could work. I mean, look, like you said, he's never coached at the professional level like this.
In the defense of Deion Sanders here, because I don't know how I feel about head coach Deion Sanders. Again, we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's been a fast climb for him. If this works out, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
But even at this
point, does he need more experience first?
Even at this point, as we talk about the Cowboys parting ways with Mike McCarthy, their head coach yesterday, and then news that Jerry Jones has been in talks with Deion Sanders to come and coach the team, Deion's one condition a week ago in an interview said that both of his sons would have to be on an NFL roster that he was coaching. Mm-hmm. I mean, he won at Jackson State when no one thought he was going to. Mm-hmm. He won at Colorado when no one thought he was going to. Granted, you had a Heisman Trophy winner with you the whole time in Travis Hunter, who also could be the first overall pick.
Is he the guy that plays on both sides?
Yeah, bro, that kid is amazing.
Yeah.
He is fun to watch. But, I mean, look, I think it's also a testament to Deion Sanders. He could have two of his players on a team that he's coached for the last 4 years both be top five picks, potentially, in the draft. I mean, that's not out of the question. Maybe, and he's also exceeded expectations in every spot that he's been when people wanted him to fail.
I know.
I mean, and there are other NFL head coaches that were more motivators than they were X's and O's guys. He played in the league.
Mm. He's a funny pigeon.
Bro, the cowboy hat and the chain on the pigeon makes me laugh every time. But then again, like, he also, like, when he took that job at Colorado, he dismissed almost all of the scholarship players that were there. Told them, we don't want you.
Just throw him out.
Huge dick move. So, like,
brought in his own guys.
Like, there are things about Deion where I'm like, wow, that's awesome. I do like the upset of the apple cart of the good old boys club. Like, he had no experience. He's successful.
Yeah.
But you screwed those other kids over.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel.
But that's what it takes to get to the top, right?
I also do love the romantic idea of being able to coach your son in the pros.
Oh,
you got to win over pros, too. You know, whereas when you're in college, you're the boss, right? Like, these kids have to listen to you. Now you're dealing with adult men who have been in the league for a long time, and I don't know how that translates.
But what's unique about that, he's also a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He's got the cachet. Yeah. None of those players could look at him and be like, you don't know, because he does. This might be the sneakiest, greatest idea of all time.
Good work.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Dave. Hey, Dave, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Duffy, how you doing?
Good, man.
I have been a Cowboys fan for 48 years, and I want to. If I could, I'd shoot Jerry Jones in the head.
Okay, well, let's not. I wouldn't go that far. You know,
well, it's Texas.
I mean, let Mother Nature's probably going to take care of that soon anyway.
Yeah, he's the reason we haven't done anything in the last 20 years, in many Cowboys fans' opinion.
By the way, 30, but who's counting?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I laugh when Bills fans give me crap in Wegmans when I wear my Cowboys gear. I'm like, you've been to more playoffs than we have since the Super Bowls, and you're actually winning them. So give it a rest.
I mean, Dave, but here's the thing, Dave. I agree with you. Jerry Jones sucks, and he's the reason the team isn't good. But this would be a little bit out of the way. Normally, Jerry Jones picks, like, these pushover head coaches. He can tell what to do. I don't think Deion Sanders is that guy. Maybe he's the one that has the ability to push back and shove him in the chest.
Maybe. I don't. If he is, if Deion does do that, he won't be there long.
Ooh.
Well, I don't know. Jimmy Johnson wasn't a guy that was going to be pushed around.
Yeah, and he fired him after a Super Bowl win.
But I thought he got two Super Bowls.
He did, and the second one, he let him go after he won the Super Bowl.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, that's the reason Jason Garrett was there for so long, is he did whatever Jerry wanted.
Well, I mean, Dave, it sounds like there's an easy way to get an NFL head coaching job, depending on how far you're willing to go for Jerry, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Dave, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. I want to hate Cowboys fans because of, you know, the past and the history and everything. But
they don't have much to go on.
Dave's right. Like, it has been such a tire fire with this billionaire who no one can tell. He's his own general manager, if folks don't know.
He probably owns that stadium, right? It's
I think. Yeah, well, they call it Jerry's World.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about an owner. You know, you're stuck with that guy.
And his kid's probably just a big ass as he is.
And he's also a giant
Little
piece.
Jerry.
He's also a giant piece of crap if you've been following all the lawsuits following.
Well, he's a Southern billionaire. They're all not nice.
Not nice is the understatement of the century. All right, so I do get the impression that Deion Sanders is using this to get a raise at Colorado.
Oh, okay.
That he understands how hard it would be.
I would think it would work.
But again,
yeah, they want to keep him more than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah. Who talked about Colorado football before?
Right. Oh, huge draw.
Cordell Stewart, after Cordell Stewart and Rashan Salaam.
Oh, yeah, he went there?
Yeah, one of my favorite sandwiches.